We are so glad to finally be back on our normal weekly-ish podcast.
It's weekly-ish, been yes.
Quite a while since we've had an updated podcast. And if you'll notice, we're in a new home, new to us. And Johnny and I are so excited about just all the transition that's happened for our family and for our ministry. Since January, this first half of the year has flown by. We've been busier than ever, traveling a lot, and we managed to squeeze in there, relocating our family to the same area, another part of town, but in a house that just works better. God just blessed us with a bunch of new furniture, and so I'm personally like really excited to get to show off my house a little bit. You know, us girls.
Yes.
Of course, if you're listening through podcast, you'll just have to imagine it. We're in a much better setting than we were.
We know many of you have been asking when you're going to get back on podcasts, and we have had to have a little bit of a break as we made these changes and as the Lord provided this new place, but we're ready to go again.
Yeah, one of our favorite young men, good friends with one of our daughters, has helped set up our new studio here in our home, and so we're ready to recommit to the podcast and giving y'all more updated focus on the things God's speaking to us. And today we're going to jump right in. Johnny has a really cool perspective that God's given him recently on an event that most of you may not be aware of that's happening August 21st. I'll let you tell him.
Yeah, more and more everybody's finding out about it, but August 21st, we're having a total solar eclipse for the entirety of the nation, and it's something very unique, you know, and these things are not coincidental. Even if you remember, we did speak some into the blood moons. We countered what was assumed was being said. We believe the glory of God is what's revealed through the things in heaven, as it says in Psalms, the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens are not here to declare what the enemy's doing, but what God's doing.
Yeah, so many people are really confused and upset by the idea of the blood moons, and that was a while back. And, you know, we tend to err on the side of thinking everything is an expression of the judgment of God that's like imminent over us and our nation. And our perspective is very different than that. And just even scripture, as you just said, the heavens declare the glory, the goodness of who our God is.
Yeah. And so the timing of the blood moons, there is a big shift that has come about. We're in the process of still going through it. It's tied into Donald Trump being president of the United States. It's a very, for some, chaotic time, confusing time. But it's an interruption from heaven, really. And so among the convergences that are upon us, I say we're in the convergence of convergences, even coming up with this total solar eclipse, is the fact that, you know, it's still, we're in year 5777 on the Hebraic calendar.
Right.
And numbers are always significant, and they're specifically significant for Hebrews, Jews, the Hebraic calendar. And they really represent, it's the year of the Trinity interrupting the cycles of man and the nations and the United States. And we will celebrate 500 years since the first Reformation, Martin Luther nailing the 95 Theses on the door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany. And we're about to go to 2.0. We've initiated it, but we can now begin to celebrate Reformation 2.0, where it's no longer how shall we get saved as the focus, but how do we get heaven into earth? And that's back to the original passion of Jesus and his first message on earth as it is in heaven. And he talked about inheriting the earth, and you are the salt, you are light. And he was speaking to those who are not yet believers, but he was speaking to his image in them and saying, it's time for you to work with me to receive heaven on earth. Mm-hmm. So what's happening, for those who don't know, the 21st of August, August being the eighth month, mm-hmm. is being called the Great American Eclipse. And as one observer says, a total eclipse is a dance with three partners, the moon, the sun, and earth. And I like that. I believe the sun's representative of God, the moon of the church. Right. It is reflected light, reflected glory. And of course, earth represent society. And so there's a unique dance of God, his church, and society. and it connects to this focus of reformation. And it's where we get out of the excessive thinking of us versus them, and it's about us all. And that's one of the adjustments God is asking for his kids to embrace, is to quit thinking through this grid of us versus right. them, where we're trying to triumph over them. And even we get carried away when we talk about transfer of wealth, like from them to us. There's just a transfer of wealth for those and to those who understand kingdom advancement at this time. And we have some people that are doing a lot of kingdom advancement while not doing it in the name of God. For instance, Bill Gates, with his billions, he is doing a lot of kingdom activity. And it may be hard for him to see the king right now. We don't know where in the process he is. Sometimes those advancing kingdom initiatives can't see the king, sometimes because the church has distorted his image so much. But we want to be aware that the Lord is involved in the affairs of man, I think, as never before. And that's what this timetable signifies.
Well, so let me jump in right there, because I know you make that point for emphasis. You say the Lord is more involved than he ever has been. But really, I know you well enough to know that, you know, he's always been very intentional. And I think whatever he sets into motion, for example, you know, every sunrise and every sunset, he put that into motion. And those of us that are a little bit leery of, you know, everything is a sign, everything's prophetic, and we're like, you just kind of are over it and you don't want to hear about that kind of thing. I'm personally not really drawn to signs like that as much as you are. But I think that the way I get my head around that is that's our God. Like, he's involved in and intentionally shows up through everything. And we forget the humility of God. And the humility of God, if we were the ones that set the ability for the sun and rise and the sunset to splash across the sky every morning and every night and look as brilliant and majestic as it does, we would have signed it. We would have put our name on it. We would have done something that said, I did this. And yet you talk about the humility of God. We talk about the humility of God as something that he puts the dots there and he leaves them for us to connect. He leaves it for us to find him in anything. We can find him actually in anything. And the humility of God, like you were using the example of the transfer of wealth or whatever, it's not a transfer of wealth, like you said, to those who are, quote, perfect or who are, quote, getting it right, or even the sons and daughters of God that already know that they're his. The humility of God says, I will advance the truth of who I am and what I feel about you as my creation through anything, anyone, anywhere, whether they're aware of it or not. And so it is, what's the scripture that says it's for kings to search it out?
In Proverbs, that the Lord essentially hides his secrets and wisdom and truth, and it shows royalty. You're a king. It is an honor of kings to search a matter out, that the Lord hides things. And so he loves those who will search out those the matters.
And so we're kings, we're royalty, because we're made in his image. And so this is an aspect of the nature and character of God. He loves to hide signs. He loves to hide little markers along the way saying, I'm here, I'm in your midst, I'm involved. I thought of this very moment before I ever even put the earth into motion. That's who he is. And so even as we're talking about these little nuances, and you're going to get into a lot of numbers and more of that kind of thing, I just want people to realize this is an aspect of who and what our God is like. In the same way that he will speak through big things like an eclipse, he will speak through signs all throughout your day if you'll look for them and find them. So as we're talking more, and we're going to do this over the next several podcasts, we're going to be talking more about specifically about this eclipse and what it represents. So right now, you're just beginning to lay the foundation for what this, what you feel like the Lord has shown you this eclipse actually represents for us in this generation.
Yeah, and it's true. The Lord never abandons us, but there are timetables. We know from the end of the Old Testament to the beginning of the New Testament, there was a seeming quietness for 400 years until the birth of Jesus. And there was an aligning of the stars even there that the shepherds saw that represented intervention. Right. There are these things called Kairos moments. There are the intentionality of God to step in and fast forward things. And I think with the implementation of Trump, it represents a lot of that. And it does not mean Trump's, it's not, he's the holy man. It's God is using the right. trumpet. The trumpet gets used. And
just as a quick disclaimer, I love it when you remind people of this. We're not Republican. We are not Democrat. We are just consistently trying to err on the side of looking for where God is and what he's doing. And we know that God moves the hearts of people that are in government, and he places them there, and he uses our votes to do it. So we're just making the assumption that God put him there. And so what is that speaking of?
Well, yeah, it's not a political comment we're making at all. And as I like to say, there are gaping holes both in the logic, the political logic and the moral logic of both
right.
parties. But there is something, and these are scriptures, Isaiah 18:3 says, when he blows the trump, hear, as opposed to mm-hmm. argue. Zechariah 9:14, the Lord will blow the trump, and goes on to say, he'll fight for his people, remain a prisoner of hope. Psalm 47:5, God has gone up with the sound of the trump. It didn't say God was the trump, but he comes up at the sound of the trump. And so for people to say, well, how could he use someone who's so imperfect? He's been using imperfect beings all all along. And there is
that we are, all of us.
Nehemiah 4:20, at the sound of trump, God fights for us. So these are just signs that then we connect with what's happening in the heavens as well. And back to just a few minutes on matters to do with the total solar eclipse. It's the first coast-to-coast eclipse for the United States in 99 years. That's, of course, since 1918. And there's another classification of the type of eclipse it is, that it's the first in the United States since 1776.
Wow, that's something.
That's the year that we officially started as a nation. So this is significant. This is not something to ignore. You put all these things together. You put the 577, the Lord interrupting processes. We've been speaking into these things. Even the Brexit vote was an interruption from God. And he's been doing these things for some years. So this solar eclipse cycle that's on us, it comes every 18 years and 11 days. This particular one, they have a cycle called the Solar Saros 145 cycle, and this is the 22nd in a sequence of 77 eclipses. Those are just interesting points on the side. But I want to point out that the date itself, August 21, that's 8/21, I was led to look immediately at Romans 8:21, and Romans 8:21 tells us that the creation itself will be set free from the bondage of decay and brought into the freedom and the glorious liberty of the children of God. So there is a significant acceleration into that day, I believe, upon us. The next verse in Romans 8:22 says, creation groans and travails for the sons and daughters of the King to arise and shine. But there is something that is shifting, taking place. The heavens are declaring it. And it's so interesting because
it's amazing.
There is a 67-mile wide path from Oregon all the way to South Carolina. It's going to come out at Charleston, South Carolina. It is the path of totality, that they say, the path of totality, where for it's just a couple of minutes, 2 or 3 minutes, they will go pitch black. It'll turn night.
So if you are standing anywhere in that pathway, then it will literally go black as if it's the middle of the night.
Yeah, and it's going to be like,
that's,
you know,
crazy.
10, 11, 12, 1. And so they're going to see.
Oh, I wish I could see that. We're not in that pathway, are we?
No, we're not. We're, you know, it's for the whole nation. There is some dimming. I think we're in a 50 to 75 percentile thing of it, but it's immensely different. So millions and millions are gathering into this 67-wide-mile stretch, and they're going to stare up and observe the heavens. And there's something prophetic.
They better
prophetic.
Not look at it with the naked eye. It
no.
will ruin your eyesight, people.
Yeah, that's they don't want
the mom in me coming out.
Yeah.
Don't look at the sun when it's being eclipsed.
But it's interesting because there's going to be millions of people, and some have rented hotel rooms from years ago. They're worried about the electrical grid of this pathway because so many millions are coming into it. They want to be able to look in the heavens and see this black and white exchange where things go suddenly dark just in a couple of minutes. It's like experience sunset and then the sun arising in a matter of 3 minutes. And so, and
that is going to be so crazy.
They say it's like no other visual.
We can watch on TV.
Yes, our eyes should be safe watching TV. But there's significance even in the 67-mile pathway. We may get to that in just a moment. But there is really a shift for the body of Christ. You know, what happens is you have the sun and the moon and the earth in this perfect alignment.
Right.
And so if you want to see the sun, you'll look up and the moon is going to block it for a moment, mm-hmm. and then you'll see the sun coming around it. And mm-hmm. there's something about even the interaction and relationship between the church and the Lord. And there's a way he's going to shine on the church in a new way and a release. And I believe we're going to enter a time of confrontation, black and white confrontations. The world's ready to see black and white confrontations, power confrontations. By that, I mean where it becomes beyond just argument, what's right or wrong,
mm-hmm.
and we'll be able to tell by proof itself. It's sort of when we've talked before about Elijah and the prophets of Baal. He says, "Hey, let's find out today who really is God. Who's got the power? Is it Baal or is it God?" And there's a lot of argument on planet Earth, and there's a lot of the ability of God to evaporate the argument when we come with his presence. It's always love, his power. It's what Jesus did. He would show up, and so the leper would come up, and he would speak being clean, and then he would leave, and he's fine. The demoniacs, so much of the life of Jesus was casting out demons, and that was the ultimate proof to that generation. Like, this man has authority over dark, demonic stuff, and that's really what created a shift for them.
This is just such an interesting subject, and it really does connect to very relevant things going on in our generation. And in our next episode, we're going to get more into that. What does that black and white confrontation actually look like? What are you talking about? And, you know, just to reiterate, you made the point about the us versus them, and this is something that Johnny and I speak frequently about, but the whole point of all of life, and we know that the end game where all of this is headed many generations after us, we believe, is that Habakkuk 2:14, the knowledge of the glory of God, the nuances of what he's really like, are going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And so if the point in the end is that everyone have access to the knowledge of God, the truth of what he's really like, what does he really think about me, what does he think about us as his creation, what is he, who does he say we are, and who do we say that he is? And so it's this battle of the knowledge of God. Who is he? Who is the real God? What is he like? And, you know, the way the enemy would like to thwart that, and he's not very creative with the ways that he comes against us, but he tries to, one of his games is to try to get us to point fingers and say, like you said, us versus them, the world versus believers or Christianity. And the agenda is not even to get Christianity to cover the earth. It's to get the knowledge of how good God is to cover the earth. So the very people that we get to walk alongside, and as we're discovering more of him, they're discovering more of him. We're all in various levels of deception. You know, even those of us that know God, we think we know parts of him that really aren't him. And we miss out on so much of who he really is because we think we already know him. So we're, you know, when we think about those who maybe haven't discovered who God is yet at all, maybe they're not even trying to discover who God is, or maybe some that are already thinking that God is, you know, someone that he's not, or an idol that they've put in place in their own hearts or lives. If we begin to allow our hearts to make that shift, and I believe like an eclipse, there is a quick shift right now. It's a very defined, definitive shift, but we are shifting our relationship not just to the Lord, but to society, the church to society. And if we can make that shift, it's going to land us and posture us in a place where we can really begin to love the very people that want to hear from us. Who is God? Who is he really? But why would they want to hear from someone who isn't properly reflecting him? So we're going to get into what that whole reflecting thing is. In the heart of a God who is love and who loves us, he's for us. So the heavens declare the glory of God. Just going to end very quickly by encouraging you, if you found this podcast another way than our website, I'll tell you, our website is johnnyandelizabeth.com. And you should be able to find on there on the blogs a very detailed version of this kind of prophetic picture that we're laying out for you today and in our next couple of podcasts about the solar eclipse. And so if you're someone who likes all the data and the numbers, it's all written in there. It might be a week or so before we get that put up, but you can check our blogs on johnnyelizabeth.com. Another thing you can watch for later this fall, I'm going to make a shameless plug, a commercial, for a book that I'm super excited about that I wrote.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't believe I wrote my own book. It's really a great, great feeling to partner with God in a way like that, to have ruminated and meditated on some very personal things he's done in my life that he showed me will really bring a lot of clarity and focus to the body of Christ.
It's amazing.
The name of the book is God in Every Season, and we'll be releasing that through Amazon sometime this fall, and we'll be announcing it through our email sign up. So you can go to our website, sign up for the emails, and then you'll find out right when it comes out. And we'll be, of course, talking about it more on future podcasts. But thank you for joining us.
Yes.
And we'll see you soon.
We will.